Welcome to Torti Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Bet, Chapter 32. We've just finished two beautiful prakim of Nechama. Perek 32 is also a perek of consolation, but in a slightly different way. The chapter takes place in the 10th year of Tzidkiyahu's reign, so we're talking 1 year before the Churban, before the final desolation of Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash. Yirmiyahu had been prophesying bitterly against Tzidkiyahu's war, telling him that if he rebels against Babylonia, it's only going to cause disaster and hardship. The only way to survive is to accept that the occupation of Babylonia is a punishment from Hashem. If you rebel, Yirmiyahu has said now over and over and has shown them with his symbolic action of the yoke, if you rebel, then you're going to be completely destroyed. The only way to survive with your people and your land intact is to submit to the Babylonians. Yirmiyahu had enraged Tzidkiyahu by telling him over and over that he would lose the war and that he himself would be taken prisoner and would be personally humiliated by Nebuchadnezzar. Yirmiyahu says, "V'diber piv im piv, ve'enav et enav tir'ena." You are going to be looking him in the eye. You're going to be speaking to him face to face as he takes you away from your country, as he degrades you, as he moves you into exile. Unfortunately, when you give these types of messages to a king and a people during a war, they don't look so kindly at you. In fact, they might even say that you are a traitor, working for the other side, trying to undermine the war effort. This is what happened to Yirmiyahu during Tzidkiyahu's time. Jehoiakim was after Yirmiyahu and tried to kill him actively with his own hands. Tzidkiyahu wasn't as bad, but he did imprison Yirmiyahu on the palace grounds in a place called Chazarat Matarah. This had two purposes. Number one, to punish Yirmiyahu for his prophecy. And number two, to stop him from spreading his prophecy to the people. Because every time Yirmiyahu told them that the only way to win was to submit, people might say, well, let's abandon the army. Tzidkiyahu didn't want that to happen. It is in this Chatzar HaMatarah, in this imprisonment capsule on the palace grounds, that Yirmiyahu gets a prophecy from Hashem. The prophecy concerns a visitor that will be coming to make a request. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu that this person is going to come and that he should give this person what he wants. The person is named Hanamel, and he is Yirmiyahu's first cousin. His request is, Kanelecha et sadi asher ba'anatot, ki lecha mishpat ha'gula liknot. Yirmiyahu, I want you to buy my field that's in Anatot. I want you to buy my portion of land because it is your job to be the Goel Sadeh. It's your job to redeem my field. And what is this concept of Geulat Sadeh? So we see this comes up in Megillat Rut when Boaz buys Elimelech's field and gives the money ostensibly to Naomi. There's a concept that land is supposed to stay within the family. So if a person is very poor and cannot no longer afford their land, their relatives are supposed to buy their land from them. And therefore, they give the money to the person. The person now has money and the land stays within the family. Now, this is considered a kindness, a great chesed to the poor person, because they don't have to sell their land on the open market. They can sell it to a relative who cares about them. Yirmiyahu does. He pays 7 shekels and 10 silver coins for the land. Then he signs the deed in front of witnesses that are in the Chatzar HaMatarah, in this imprisonment place with him. They make 2 copies, one that is sealed and closed up, and one that's open for reference for someone to read and check. Yirmiyahu hands the documents to Baruch ben Neriah, his trusted helper, and he instructs Baruch ben Neriah to take these 2 documents and verse 14, unetanam b'kli chares, put them into a clay jar, leman ya'amdu yamim rabim, so they can last for a long time. Because, he says in Pasuk 15, ki ko amar Hashem tzvakot Elokei Yisrael, so says Hashem, Od yikanu batim v'sadot ukramim ba'aretz hazot. One day, this deed of land will be worth something. Even though we're standing 1 year before the destruction of the entire land, 1 year before everyone is going to be exiled, and there won't be any ownership of land anymore. Anyone who's alive can take whatever land they want. But that's not what we're looking at. We're not looking at 1 year from now. We're looking at the future. And in the future, once again, deeds of land will be meaningful. Once again, there will be commerce in this land. You will come back. Now, why would Hanamel come to Yirmiyahu? Well, ostensibly, the reason why people do Geulat Tzedek is because they're poor. Hanamel needed the money. Yirmiyahu must have been his closest relatives. This is a really big deal. They're in the middle of a war. Nobody buys land in the middle of a war. Hanamel is asking Yirmiyahu to do him a big favor. But according to Yirmiyahu's own prophecy, the land is not worth anything anymore. Everyone will be exiled. The land will be destroyed. The only way to believe that the land is worth anything is either if you don't believe Yirmiyahu and you think Tzidkiyahu is going to win the war, or if you accept the answer that Yirmiyahu gives here when he explains why he is doing this, why he is giving money to Hanamel. Because Yirmiyahu says the land isn't worth anything right now, but it will be in the future. Now, why did Hashem have to warn Yirmiyahu that Hanamel is coming and tell him that he wants him to do what Hanamel asks of him? So realize that Hanamel is a relative from Anatot. The last time we saw people from Anatot was in chapter 11, where the people of Anatot, specifically Yirmiyahu's relatives, wanted to kill him. Yirmiyahu might not be so disposed to help out these people from Anatot who ran him out of the city and he only escaped with his life. Additionally, in Parak 11, we saw that Yirmiyahu had a special prophecy for the people of Anatot. Everyone in their land would die in the Chorban. So it's not just that this is regular land that's worth nothing. It's even worth less than nothing because the people of Anatot are going to be absolutely decimated. So therefore, Hashem had to tell Yirmiyahu that this is what Hashem wanted. He had to prepare him for Hanamel's visit. Additionally, this transaction really does undermine Yirmiyahu's nevuah. Buying this land in the middle of a war, and specifically land in Anatot, is something that could really be misinterpreted by people. They could say, oh yeah, Yirmiyahu doesn't even believe his own prophecy. If he did, he would never buy land in the middle of the war. Oh, clearly this must mean that our war is going to be successful. Yirmiyahu is just a naysayer, but deep down, you know, when economics comes up, he knows that buying land is actually a good investment. Hashem had to tell Yirmiyahu that don't go down that road. Buying this land is not an ordinary transaction. It is actually a ma'aseh simli, a symbolic action. So far, we've only seen Yirmiyahu do symbolic actions that represented his negative prophecy, like wearing a yoke, not having children, wearing and then burying the loincloth. This symbolic action represents the redemptive part of Yirmiyahu's nevuah. He puts the deed of sale in a safe place, buried in a clay jar, because he's showing the people that they will come back, and he's showing it with a symbolic action, with the same strength that he showed that his negative prophecies would come true. Now, just want to talk for a minute about what is a symbolic action. Now, the Malbim in Parak 28 on the Parak about Hananiah ben Azor discusses why was Hananiah so intent to break Yirmiyahu's yoke? And he doesn't say it was because he was furious at Yirmiyahu, but rather Malbim explains that Hananiah believed, and the Malbim believes as well, that symbolic actions carry a certain certainty with them. They're not just symbolic. They mean that this prophecy will definitely come true. And therefore, Hananiah broke Yirmiyahu's yoke to do a different symbolic action to show that this prophecy will not come true. You will not have to submit to Babylonia. So all of those symbolic actions that Yirmiyahu did, they're a crystallization of his prophecy. They're bringing the prophecy into the world in a certain way. And they've already started to happen. I heard this idea from Rabbi Gamliel Shmalo that symbolic actions are bringing the action into the world. They're not just words, they're deeds. And once the deeds happen, then the prophecy also has to happen. So what your meal is saying here is not just words that can be changed. And we know from Perek Yudchet, the potter's house, that if your deeds change, then Hashem's response to your deed will change too. Once the words come with a symbolic action, it cannot be taken away. So what Hashem is telling Yirmiyahu is, just like your negative nevuot that came with the symbolic action, those can't be changed because they've already been crystallized, so too this one will come true as well. And what's fascinating is, if you read Sefer Ezra, Perek Bet, there's a whole long list of people that come back to Israel with Zerubbabel from the Babylonian exile. And guess who's on the list? That's right, the people of Anatot come back to Israel from the exile in Babylonia, which means that they did not die out in the exile. And it also means that these people of Anatot actually did teshuvah. Now, this has become a rallying cry for Jews in all generations. Od yiknu batim v'sadot ukramim ba'aretz hazot. One day, people will want to buy houses and fields and vineyards in this land. Imagine people thinking about this in the Middle Ages. Imagine people thinking about this in the Pale of Settlements in Russia. One day, we're not just going to come back to Israel, but we're going to be buying and selling land. There's going to be a humming economy. And, you know, maybe that's why the real estate prices in Israel are so high, because of Yirmiyahu's nevuah. No, just kidding. But what we see is this has come true in our lifetime. There is, once again, a real strong economy in Israel, as Yirmiyahu promised. After the deed is done and the people depart, Yirmiyahu davens a very interesting and almost strange prayer to Hashem. He mentions, Hashem, you took the Jews out of Mitzrayim. You were always kind to them. You gave them the gift of Eretz Israel. And look how terribly the Jewish people treated you. You gave them, he says to Hashem in Pasuk Kaf Bet, verse 22, an Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. And what did they do? He says in verse 23, Vayavo v'yeshuota, they came, they inherited it. V'lo shamu b'kolecha u'b'toratecha, and they didn't listen to your voice or your Torah. Lo hachulot asher tzivta lehem lasot lo asu, you didn't listen to anything you told them to do. V'tikreotam et kol hara'azot, and look, they did all these terrible things. And he goes on and explains all the terrible things. And he says, Hashem, I don't understand why you would want me to buy this land. Why would you want me to go and undermine my nevuah? The city's about to be captured. If people see that I'm buying land, they're going to think that I don't believe my own nevuah. Yirmiyahu is still hoping that people will do teshuvah and stop the war. If the word gets out about this story of buying the land from Hanamel, maybe people will misinterpret it and say that it's a good thing to continue the war. Hashem responds to Yirmiyahu and says the following, yes, Yirmiyahu, the city is going to be captured. Yes, B'nai Israel deserve their punishment for distorting justice, for mocking the prophets, for all their idolatry, for even putting an idol in the Beit HaMikdash. But, says Hashem, that's not the end of the story. In Pasuk Lam Zayim, verse 37, Hineni mekapsam mikol ha'aratzot asher idachtim sham ba'pi ubechamati ubeketzef gadol. I disperse them with my anger, with my strong, horrific anger pointed towards them. But with that same strength that I disperse them, v'hishavtim el ha'makom hazeh, I'm going to bring them back, and I'm going to bring them back with safety and security. And then in Lamed Chet 38, the same language that we've been hearing now over and over in this Prakim of Consolation, they will be my nation, and I will be their God. And Hashem says, Kiko amar Hashem in Mem Bet in 42, Kasher heviti el ha'am hazeh kol hara'a hagadola hazot, just like I brought them all of the terrible, horrific punishments, kein anochi mevi aleihem, with the same measure and with the same strength, I will bring to them kol hatova asher anochi dover aleichem. And yes, Yirmiyahu, I'm going to bring the good. And yes, it's difficult for you to do, but it is so important that people know that their exile is not the end of the story. And it's so important that they know that their disbursement does not mean that Hashem doesn't care about them. This is a punishment from Hashem, not a rejection from Hashem. And the parak ends with the words, Ki ashiv et shvutam, the same shoresh, the shuv, that we've seen over and over. I will bring back their captives, both with teshuva and also with repentance, but also a physical return. So what we've seen here in this parak is another parak of consolation, but in a very different way. Because Yirmiyahu also has to get used to this consolation. He also has to realize that, yes, it's a sacrifice what he does for Hanamel. This great chesed, this buying the land in the middle of a war, it's not just a person-to-person action, but it's very representative. And yes, people might misinterpret this, but it's worth it. Because there needs to be a symbolic action, something that's going to crystallize Yirmiyahu's Hashem's understanding of Bnei Yisrael's return. And it happens in such an interesting way. Through Hanamel, through the people who wronged Yirmiyahu, even these people have a chance of redemption. And what's fascinating is, it's these people actually who do redeem themselves. And the people of Anatot do come back to Israel. And this nevuah about one day there being commerce, there being an economy in Israel, is a nevuah that we have been blessed to see come true in our lifetime. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.